four verses, you're not going to see the word thanks or thanksgiving, but what we are going to see is the outpouring of thanks in these four verses. And so I'm going to show that to you, and we're going to see that together, because this week, as we go through this week, we're headed towards Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is so much more than sitting down and having turkey and stuffing and squash and mashed potatoes and cranberry sauce and green bean casserole, whatever you guys do at your Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is really supposed to be about the heart. Amen. Coming together for the meal is an expression of that, in that we get together with our families, our friends, and we give thanks. Well, that's really what this is about. This text shows us how that they are giving thanks. And that's where we want to go. That's what I want you to see with me tonight, this morning. When we look at verse 4, we actually see David talk about the reasons that he gives thanks. Listen to verse 4 before I read all four verses. Verse 4 says, "For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right." And basically what David is saying in this psalm, he's saying, God, you've been on my side. And because you've been on my side, I have praised you. I have been thankful. And so this morning, I'm hoping that each of us understand that God is on our side. And therefore, we should be praising and thanking him. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to look into the scriptures. Father in heaven, as we look into these verses, I pray for your Holy Spirit to move and work in our midst. Help us to understand what it was that you were inspiring David to pen and why. Help us to see how to apply it to our lives, that we might be a thankful people, but not just thankful deep down inside, but expressive of our thanks, that others might see that we are a thankful people. We pray for your guidance in this message. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 down through 4, it says, "I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise in thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right." So when we look in these texts, especially verses 1, 2, and 3, we see the psalmist expressing his thanksgiving. And we find that praise is an essential part of that. Praise, giving thanks, letting somebody know through our expression that we are thankful. When you look at the very first part of verse 1, it says, "I will praise thee, O Lord." Then when you look at the second part of verse 2, it says, "I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high." So we see in these verses where the psalmist is saying, God, I praise thee. I express my thanksgiving to you. It's something that we need to do personally to him. In fact, when you look at that very first verse, he says, "I praise thee, O Lord." He wants us to understand, as we read what he writes, that his praise is to God. Now, there's many people who we are thankful for. Certainly, you should be thankful for your wife or for your husband. You kids should be thankful for mom and dad. Certainly, if we think about, you know, our jobs, we should be thankful people. I was listening to the news here the other day about one of the African countries where they have an unemployment rate up in 90%. Can you imagine 90% unemployment in a country? We should be a thankful people for our bosses, for those jobs that we have. So when you look at this, there are lots of people we can be thankful to. But ultimately, it all comes back to the Lord. Lord, thank you for the spouse you've given me. Thank you, Lord, for the parents you've given me. Thank you for the children you've given me. Thank you for the job you've given me and the home you've given me and the community you've given me. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you by praising you, by lifting up your holy name. It's personal when we look at this psalmist who says, I will praise thee, O Lord. It's also interesting when you look in here that he talks about his heart. Listen again to that first verse. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. So we find sincerity in that, don't we? He wants us to understand, I am thanking you, Lord, not just casually, passively, or on the surface. I am thanking you, Lord, sincerely. From my whole heart, I'm praising you from the depths of my soul, from the sincere part of who I am as a person. If we're not careful, we can become pretty shallow people, can't we? It's kind of like when you're walking along and you see people and you say to them, hey, good to see ya. But you really, do you really mean it? Or you just, you know, or you walk by and say, how you doing? And really, you're expecting them to say, good, and move on. Because if they stop and start listing it off to you, well, I'm not doing all that well. Yeah. Then all of a sudden you're thinking, uh-oh, should I have asked? Because you really weren't wondering, how are they doing in a real sincere way? If we're not careful, we can become pretty insincere people, can't we? And here he's saying, Lord, I am praising you with my whole heart. I'm genuine in this. I'm sincere in this. When we go into Thanksgiving this week, how sincerely are we thankful? How genuinely thankful are we that we're going to praise the Lord? I've mentioned before, one of the traditions in my household ever since my children were very small, and of course now they're grown with children of their own, and so still, even when I go to my daughter's house for Thanksgiving and all her kids and her husband and all that, we still do what we did when my daughter was little, and that is we go all the way around the table and we ask, what are we thankful for personally today? And we do that person by person. Well, Pastor, that could take a long time. It's Thanksgiving. So you put in 10 minutes of time of thanks. You'll be okay? It's good to be sincere about our Thanksgiving. And so that's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, Lord, I'm praising you, and I'm doing it with the sincerity of my heart. I'm genuine about this. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. You see, God goes to and fro. His spirit goes to and fro. And he looks at the hearts of his people. He knows if we are sincere. In fact, Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, bringing forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. And that's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, God, I praise you because with my whole heart, I express that to you with sincerity. You and I, what's in our heart? Are we a thankful people? This week, when we have Thanksgiving one with another, are we genuine? Are we expressing that genuine praise? Are we bringing the Lord to the table with us? If we're not careful, we're thankful to everybody but God. You might say, well, Pastor, my family is, they're not really religious. That's okay. They can stand it if you say, let's go ahead and thank God for our meal this morning. This afternoon, this evening, whenever you have Thanksgiving dinner. To just say to them, it's just going to take a minute. But let's thank God for what we have on this table this year. Lots of folks leave God out. But here the psalmist is saying, no, Lord, I need to do this. I need to express this because it's in my heart. Praise is essential. It's a connecting part of being thankful. When you look at the second part of verse 1 there in chapter 9 of Psalms, it says, I will show forth all thy marvelous works. You see, when we're really thankful, it's hard to not show it. It's hard to not express it. It's kind of like young ladies who get engaged. Have you ever noticed the girls when they get engaged, all of a sudden the whole posture changes? You know, they're kind of walking around like this. You know, Rose was that for, she's married now, but for a while when she, you know, she would come, she kind of just walked different. Because she wants you to see that engagement ring. Because she's thankful that Mike went ahead and got her that beautiful ring and is wanting to marry her, and he's now married her, and her job's changed, and she's in church with us on Sunday mornings. That's a blessing. But when we're really thankful for something, oftentimes we can't help but talk about it. Can't help but show it. This last Wednesday night at church, I was coming down after services were coming down through, and Louis Ram was sitting back here, and he was talking to some folks, and he had his cell phone open, and he was showing them all his son Andre got a big 11-point buck. Now, he was showing them the picture of it, and they're talking about it, because, man, they're excited. They're thankful. The Lord gave him this amazing buck, and here's a picture of it. Let me show you. That's what the psalmist is saying here. He's saying, Lord, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. And what am I going to do with that? He says in the last part of verse 1, he says, I will show forth all thy marvelous works. So those people you work with and those family members and your neighbors, do you show them God's blessings in your life? Do you ever say to them, I am so thankful. God has blessed me. Look at how God has blessed me with my family. Look at how God has blessed me with my job. Look at how God has blessed me. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not naive. I know that lots of the people you work with are going to look at you like, But that's okay. It's all right. You know, the Bible teaches us that we are a peculiar people. We are particularly chosen to be unique for God. And part of that uniqueness is that we recognize that God is the one who blesses us. And we need to tell others that, hey, I give God the glory. I praise Him. I recognize that I am blessed by Him. That's what the psalmist is saying. He says, I will show and tell. I will be expressive of my thanksgiving, remembering and recognizing and pointing out your works, O Lord. As we come down, there's one more I want you to see in the text, and that is that being glad brings rejoicing and thanksgiving. Listen to what it says in that very first part of verse 2. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. It's interesting that when we look at this, God says thankfulness, thanksgiving, it motivates us to praise, but it also gives back to us gladness, rejoicing, even a song on our hearts. In other words, it kind of changes our attitude. Have you ever met folks who just, they need an attitude adjustment, don't they? They're mumbly and grumbly and grouchy. You know, there used to be a Patch the Pirate song. I'm sure it's still around. I don't know if kids still listen to it, but it's the Poochy Lip Disease. Have you ever heard that song? If I was a singer, I'd sing it for you. But it's all about little kids who, you know, they're pouters. There's a lot of adults who are pouters too, aren't they? Now they've learned to suck the lip in, but their whole attitude is ungrateful and unhappy and grouchy. If you want to change that in your life, if you want to let God change that in who you are, you start being thankful. You start praising God and thanking God. You know, if when you wake up in the morning and you roll over and you look at your spouse and you're saying, oh, you need an attitude adjustment. You got to roll over and you got to say, Lord, thank you. Now, granted, maybe there's some thorny parts there. You know, maybe there's some rough edges. So you say, Lord, help me to either love the rough edges or you change them, God. Because you can't change them. You can't change that person's rough edges and sharp points, but God can. Or God can teach you to love them. Pastor, how can I love a sharp edge? John Kaufman, he has sometimes an itchy back, and he'll be talking to me in my office. I'm looking for a place to do this. And so I'll be talking to him in the office, and he'll go ahead and he'll find this little sharp edge, and he'll go, "Arr." Sometimes a sharp edge is a good thing. Sometimes you learn to love a little sharp edge. So you say, God, instead of me being miserable and unhappy about the sharp edges, Lord, either you change them or help me to love them. You see, that's an attitude adjustment. Learning to be glad instead of mad. Letting God adjust and change your perspective. Helping you to see things from a different direction. When you begin to be that thankful person. Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. It says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and giving favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." When you look at this text that I just read to you out of Acts chapter 2 is a text that's talking about the early church. Is it up here? I was thinking it was going to be up on the screen. But that Acts chapter 2 verse, that verse is talking about real people just like you and I. People who came together to worship. And it says, as they came together, and as they fellowshiped with one another, as they looked into the Word of God, as they broke bread together, as they prayed together, it had an effect on them as they thanked God. The text tells us that they were glad. They ate their meat with gladness, with singleness of heart. They were praising God, and they had favor with other people. All of a sudden, it changed these people to come together and let God be an integral part of their lives. When they received Christ as their Savior, the Scriptures tell us that old things pass away, all things became new, and they begin to have an attitude adjustment that taught them how to be glad, how to rejoice in life, how to cast off the old poochy lip disease. And begin to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you even for the sharp edges. Thank you, God. That is an important part of who we should be as a people. You know, when our nation was founded, it was a tough go in the early days. You know, that very first year when the pilgrims came, 50% died that winter. So when they made it to the next harvest season, they had something to compare it to. And they said, we need to gather together and give thanks. And sometimes it's good for us to step back and just look in our lives. I can remember when I was a college student, you know, living in the dormitories, And back then, it's before pods and all these beautiful, luxurious dorm rooms. It was back in the old days where they had a room that was like 10 by 14, four guys in there in bunk beds, and I mean close quarters. So it wasn't really like just glorious and relaxing. And you put four young guys in a room that small, they can be a little cantankerous. They can be a little hard to get along with. I can remember one kid down the hall would not shower. And so all the guys in his room, they put up with it. They tried to coax him and antagonize him. So finally they came to the rest of the guys on the floor, and they said, "We're throwing him in the shower. We want your help." So we all went down there, and we said, "Now listen, man, these guys have told you to take a shower many, many, many times, and you need a shower." So we did. We dragged him down the shower, threw him in the shower, turned it on, sprayed the soap on there. Guys can be hard to get along with. So you know what you have to do with a whole group of guys like that? You have to say, "God, help me. Help me to be patient. Help me to be understanding. Help me to love my brother and even love my enemy." You start to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that roommate. Thank you for those hallmates. Thank you for the privilege of coming to college." Because if you let it get to you, what happens is you get so miserable, nobody can get along with you. So you have to change your disposition to learn to be thankful. Same thing in our homes. Pretty close quarters there, aren't they? You know, Rose and Mike, brand new newlyweds. Pretty close quarters there. Got a nice little one-bedroom apartment. Before, they were single. I mean, they could spread out on the bed. They could sleep any way they wanted. You know, well, now they're married. Now you can't kick. You know, you got to be careful about flip-flopping around. You know, it's close quarters now. Now, you could be a grouch. You could say, "You bumped into me last night. You woke me up." Or you could say, "Thank you, Lord, for that cutie I sleep with every night." Right? Amen? Each of us in our lives, it's how we look at things. Here you find this early church, as they came together, they were dispersed before, all doing their own thing, living their life their own way. But they came to know Jesus as their Savior, and it says they came together, worshiping together, breaking bread together, eating their meat with gladness, singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with other people, in other words, having friendship. All of a sudden, Christ brought them to a place where they said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my neighbors and my friends. Thank you for other people who know Christ like me. Thank you for this bread you've given us, this meat you've given us, the song in my heart. Thank you, Lord." You and I this week, as we go into the Thanksgiving week, we should think back to this psalm, Psalm 9. We should remember that having a thankful heart compels us to praise God. It compels us to show and tell others of God's blessings in our lives. And it compels us to be a glad, rejoicing, happy person. The more thankful you learn to be, the happier you will be. The less thankful you are, the more miserable you are. There's always things in life to be angry about. Have you ever noticed that? There's always something. If that's what you're focused in on life, if every day you get up and all day long you're keeping a checklist of things to be ticked off about, man, that list can get long, can't it? I mean, it can be long. Or you can go ahead and decide, "Hey, let's instead make a thankful list. And all day long, instead of getting mad, let's get glad. And let's start making a thankful list. I'm thankful, Lord. I'm thankful. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. It will change who you are. It'll change how you see life. It will change how you treat others. And just like in the book of Acts, all of a sudden, get along better with others. That's what the text said. It said that they were going ahead and being well received or well liked by others. It changes your relationships. Let's bow our heads as we come to the end of the service. As your head is bowed, and as you look in your heart, I ask you this morning, are you a person who's learning or has learned to be thankful? It's not hard to tell. Because if you're thankful, you're going to sing the praises of that. You're going to express and show those things that you're thankful for. And you're going to be a happier person, glad, rejoicing, giving thanks. And if your head is bowed and you look in your heart right now, and you've gotten far away from that thankful person that you know you should be, then maybe today is the day to make an adjustment. And like the psalmist, begin to pattern your life around being a thankful person. This could be a moment of decision for you. Father in heaven, as we come to the end of our service and we take these few moments of invitation, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help each of us to see ourselves as you see us. Help us, Lord, to see whether we are thankful. Help us to see whether we have allowed Christ to transform us and to change us, that we might be glad, rejoicing, praising. For Lord, you have blessed us in so many ways. Help us this morning to make a decision so that we might have an attitude adjustment. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.